Very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yan Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, skincare brand to help combat rheumatic heart disease in largest Aboriginal community. And one of our largest Aboriginal communities, Yarrabah, we're going to catch up a yarn now with a health worker, Stanley Yateman, who's with Guruni Yalamaka Health Services over at Yarrabah. Stanley, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, my brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, Stanley.
All right, no worries. My mob's from here, Yarrabah, Kungandji mob. And also
Cooking Yalanji
mob.
Cooking Yalanji, up north there, brother. Fantastic. How long have you been a health worker, Stanley?
I've been a health worker now for 2 years.
How are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, we're really enjoying it.
Lovely, fantastic. And big shout out to your deadly team there, Guruni Yalamaka Health Service, Aboriginal Corporation, doing a fantastic job. Look, we're talking about skincare brand to help combat rheumatic heart disease in largest Aboriginal communities, and Yarrabah being one of them. So let's talk about rheumatic heart disease. When you look at it, our people are 15 times more likely to be diagnosed with it compared to non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. So we need to do a lot of work in this space, don't we, Stanley?
Yeah, we do. So with that, like having RHD, you know, RHD was eliminated, you know, throughout the world 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not a genetic thing.
Okay.
You know, RHD is a disease.
Hmm.
So it's up to us to, you know, fight it, and one day we'll get there.
One day we'll get there. All right. Yes. Yeah. And so we need to do our bit in regarding cleansiness. I think of COVID-19, when it hit us back in 2019, late 18, hand sanitizer came out to keep us all safe. We should be going on with that and keeping our people safe in rheumatic heart disease as well, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because a big part of that is make sure you wash your hands every day, especially before bed, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Before dinner, anything like that. But yeah, we should be washing hands. You know?
Washing hands, bathing, and especially our pickaninnies, and we need to do a bit as in parents and grandparents, make sure the kids are clean in that sense, but also yourself as well as an adult, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
We get laxy-daisy, don't we, Stanley?
Yeah, we do.
And so we're pushing this. And so rheumatic heart disease, it comes from uncleanliness of an individual, and it can germinate, can't it?
Yeah, it can. So most of the times they get in through having skin sores.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the bugs get into your open sores and, you know, travel to the heart, which causes ARF, RHD.
Yeah.
So it's for us to prevent, you know, trying to get skin sores in the first place, and you know, comes back to washing your hands and cleaning, making sure our sheets are changed all the time.
And it can be fatal, can't it, Stanley?
Yeah. We'll look up North Bay. You know, a lot of kids are still dying from RHD.
Yeah. And it is preventable, but we all need to do a bit, don't we?
It is preventable, yes, that's right.
And when you talk about, longevity, living longer, closing that gap, this helps in this space as well. Something so fundamental as in constantly washing your hands and keeping clean. You know, when you look at it, you know, we can't be too laxy-daisy with it.
Yeah.
A lot of work needs to be done. Thank you, Stanley. So very important. So, yeah, look, big shout-out to Guruni Yalamaka, the work that they're doing, brother. You work with a team there, brother?
Yeah. So,
what's your role include? What's your job entail?
So, my job is the child health, so looking after.
Okay.
I actually help look after RHD patients too. And,
okay.
You know.
Well, we want to work you out of work.
Eh?
We want to work you out of work, so there's no RHD, so you lose your job, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's a very important role, important job that you do. Do you have a team of people working in that space?
Yeah, so we have a team. We've just they're called the Healthy Housing Team as well. So we partnered with the Healthy Housing Team, and
yes,
so they go around to houses and they drop off products and like cleaning products, say like stuff to clean the house with, and they drop off movable products too. So
would it be dental or spray? Hand sanitizers, clots, yeah, so, clean clots, stuff like that, brother?
Yeah, so with Mugu, who we partnered since last year, June, they've actually provided us a year's worth of free body wash.
Okay.
And now that's been actually getting good feedback, so good. Now we have
good
conditioner, shampoo, moisturizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and we actually have about 17 refill sites.
Good, good. That's fantastic.
People can access. It's good because it's easily accessed and
yes,
free, you know, for mob to come and get it.
Exactly. You know the old saying, it takes a community to raise a child. Well, here's the community operating together, joint ventures with other companies, putting out these hand wash and these cloths, and it is fantastic, all the chemicals that we need to keep ourselves clean.
Yeah, that's right. And we're saying that, so it was just a year's worth since, you know, we're getting all these positive feedbacks now from,
good,
you know, community.
Yes.
That Mugu place now that we're partnered with have actually extended that. So.
Good. Yeah, there you go.
And we helped for a very long time.
And it's great to get the feedback from the people and from the mob.
Yeah,
it's a good indication that whatever you're doing, they're happy with it and it's good and it's working. Too deadly, brother. You're washing your hand while you're talking to me now, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Stanley, good yarning with you. Thank you for the yarn and big shout out to the mob there at Guruni Yalamaka. Thank you for the yarn, brother. And look, we'll talk soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, bruh.
No worries, you too.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. That's with Stanley, Stanley Yateman, and he's a health worker there at Guruni Yalamaka. And we're talking about the skincare brand to help combat rheumatic heart disease in largest Aboriginal communities. And when you look at rheumatic heart disease, it's a disease more often seen in developing nations. However, Australia has some of the highest rates in the world, so that's not a trophy we want. Need to bring that down, and we need to work it together. And great to see joint ventures happening with Aboriginal health organisations. Guru, he mentioned there, which is fantastic, handing out skincare products to the mob for 12 months and handing out to the people and getting good feedback from the people as well. So that's a good sign. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
mana yodara veni mana dela lelo lo you never all
Yes, very good morning, you, Daily Bob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Arts and Culture Exchange launch, new story in their ongoing web series, Jarrag Voices. We're going to catch up with Yarn now with Jarrag artist Jessica Green on the line. Jessica, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yes, so my name's Jessica Green. I'm a Jarrag and a Wurundjeri woman from Sydney. My people come from Cowra and also the Blue Mountains.
All right, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. And I believe you had some time up here in Cairns as well, did you?
I did, yeah. I spent 5 years up there in Cairns. My partner's a Torres Strait Island man, so he's got family up cool. there. So
you got connection.
Up there for a while.
Good
yeah.
connection.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Now, you sort of fell into becoming an artist. Tell us your story and what you're doing with this this industry at the moment.
Yeah, well, it happened after, you know, just, I think, grieving my father. I lost my father, and the community reached out to me down here and said, you know, come on, work in the schools, teaching culture, and that's what happened. And from there, it hasn't stopped. I didn't even know I was creative or anything like that, but it found me.
I think your father working on the other side, my sister.
Yeah. I think he just, you know, he wanted to leave me with something special to carry on as he did a lot of work himself, you know. So that happened. And since then, there's just been opportunity after opportunity coming my way. And I'm just running at it head first.
Yeah, too deadly, sister. Now, we're talking about the Arts and Culture Exchange launch, new story in their ongoing websites and web series with Jarrag Voices. So tell us that space, please, sis.
Yeah, so they reached out to me and said, would I like to be a part of the ACE Jarrag Voices project? And I said, of course. Mm. So what happened was is I met up with the videographer and a lovely lady named Michaela who works for them. And we went out on country, Jarrag country. We went out to the Blue Mountains region, specifically where my father was born and where he's from. So we just went on country to feel that spirit and that connection and to be a part of that day with them, you know, filming and everything. So,
yes.
And also I did a painting at home for them. So they invited me in on that project and that's what we did. I took my young fella out with me and we just, you know, felt the spirit on the land and had a great day.
So are you a full-time artist now, sister?
No, not a full-time artist. Maybe one day.
That's the goal? That's the goal? That's the dream?
Yeah,
yes.
That's the goal, you know, working 9 to 5, you know, just a regular job, paying the bills, but definitely pursuing this art on the side and navigating through it slowly, yeah.
And your partner, the other half, is he an artist as well? What's he do?
He actually is. He's probably the best artist. His name's Jermaine Sagigi. He hasn't got anything out there yet. He just he does his art whilst he's away inside, actually. So his talents have been suppressed, I guess. But he's a great artist.
Yeah. Beautiful, fantastic. Yeah. So you're both in the same field, you could say. So it was meant to be your connection together.
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of rivalry coming.
There you go.
You know, like trying to tell me how to do things, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane. You do your art, let me do mine. But it's beautiful, and our son can also join in, which is great. You know.
Yeah, fantastic. And we talk about opportunities. So in regard to you've been approached to go and do the filming and tell the story, so to speak, what other opportunities come up for you?
Oh gosh. Wow. So it's like every week there's something new. So I've really got the support of the community behind me down here. My community are backing me, you know, and they've seen the progress and just what I've overcome. So I've been doing little art workshops with young mums at Tribal Warrior.
Yes.
I've got an art session to do out at La Perouse, which is Bridgegal country, not my country, but I've been given permission to go out there and do some art sessions at a museum. But the one that stands out the most to me that I'm most proud of would have to be recently a lady called Kathy Craniti was she was a contestant for Miss Universe Australia, so not Mrs. But Miss Universe Australia.
Yes.
So I designed her cape for her.
Oh,
and she took that all the way over to Bulgaria and wore it on stage as a national costume. So to go from 8 months ago not doing art to seeing my art on stage.
To have art being presented overseas.
Yeah, you know, just our ancient symbols.
Beautiful, yes.
Just our culture being paraded as it should be overseas made me so proud of myself, yeah.
A Deadly Story, Jessica, that's what it's all about. And us having our yarn here on National Talk Black, look, young ones out there, you know, male, females, black and white, are listening to the story, and like it all begins with the first step, and that's what it's all about. And have vision, you know what I mean? And create the opportunity and just keep going down that path and doors will open up.
And especially for our people, we are creative people.
Yes.
It's in us. We're singers, songwriters, dancers, storytellers. That's what we are, you know. So I think we've all got it in us to find something creative. And when it comes back to, you know, tapping back in the culture and connecting, that's where you find yourself at home and at peace and you have a purpose. So, yeah.
Too deadly, my sister. Beautiful story, a successful story. Enjoy that journey. Not full time yet as an artist, but the vision looks good.
Yeah, I have an art page on Instagram if you want to give it a follow.
Yes,
that's Biyani Art, Biyani. That's a Darug word for create, curate, perform.
Okay.
So Biyani Art on Instagram. That's my little Insta page.
And we can see some of your artwork there, sister.
Yeah, you can
good.
See some of it. Yeah, for sure.
Deadly. Well, good yarn with you. Thank you for the yarn, Jessica. Keep doing what you're doing, my sister. And look,
thank
stay
you.
Black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Yep, thank you. You too.
Yarn soon, sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn. Beautiful yarn there with Sister Jessica Green, her name is. And she didn't know that she was an artist about 8-9 months ago, fell into it, and used art as to... have love and respect and closure in regard to her father passing on. But as we said there, I think her father was on the other side drawing her here because she's loving it, she's passionate about it, she's doing things with it, and hopefully want to become a full-time artist. So there it is, from Little Things, Big Things Grow. We should write a song about that. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Big shout-out to NERS, National News Radio Service, allowing us to go across the airways, across this deadly country of ours with this deadly program. National Talk Black is your program, Mob. Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry, just steering the ship, and love delivering this deadly program to Delhi. National Talk Rap, BBM 98.7 FM.
If only you could see what this all means.
Let's talk about
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Brother Walker.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't wanna believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me, just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited this inheritance? Took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made it feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet, nigga. New day seems nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great-grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter.
Baby. talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black boys. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me. Typical complacent. Now she showed me love and her heart is so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that war can't buy. For the lies that they preach us. The violence, silent agreements. The pride and deceit. My willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming the better ways of a better day. And some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years, nothing. We push above where we are, it ain't hard. If we all got the courage to get up and get involved with a little bit of love, come on.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters.
Baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Family.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Okay, an MOU, a First Nations game changer in East Arnhem Land. We're talking about a new memorandum of understanding, MOU, between Charles Darwin University, CDU, and the Yothu Yindi Foundation, YYF. It's expected to be a game changer for First Nation people in East Arnhem Land. And with that, we're going to talk to Professor Reuben Bolt, Deputy Vice Chancellor of First Nation Leadership at Charles Darwin University, about this MOU. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations, MOU with the YYF, Yothu Yindi Foundation. To me, I'm talking about it seems to be a beautiful, solid bridge being built here in relationship working with the Charles Darwin University and the YYF.
Yeah, look, it is. We've been working with the Yothu Yindi Foundation for several years now. Obviously, they run the Garma Festival, so we've been involved in that. But this MOU really is the basis for how we continue to genuinely engage as we move forward. And it has to be based on mutual benefit.
Yes.
And also a deep understanding of the issues at the local level. And I think that's where the Yothu Yindi Foundation is in the ideal position, because there's many, many different clan groups that are in East Arnhem. And, you know, if we want to engage sensitively and appropriately, we need to be able to build those relationships, and that's what this MOU does.
Fantastic. And it's a great platform as well for the people in the with Yothu Yindi Foundation and the traditional owners, a pathway to further education as well.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I mean, some of the key challenges, particularly in remote communities in the NT, is around, you know, remoteness, so the long distances to travel, the cost of living, so fresh food even, fuel, internet access, so that remoteness is a real issue. But there's also issues around language, and, you know, some of our First Nations communities are speaking third, fourth or fifth languages. So that's not an easy thing to do when you consider you're trying to learn in a Western environment within the university. Most of our students are mature aged as well.
Yes.
And then you've got the issues around lower levels of literacy and numeracy.
And the opportunity of, you know, the old saying, success breeds success, when you have First Nation people from the community who are succeeding in the, you could say, white man's world in regarding the education, then they come back and there's the pathway, success breeds success, yes?
Yeah, that's right. Look, and I think if we can really draw on that, because the role model, I think, actually makes a big difference. We delivered a honorary doctorate on country, not last year, but the year before.
Yes.
And the number of community members that came to witness those honorary doctorates get to see some of their community members, some of their elders, that are already well-respected knowledge holders, but are actually being recognised in a Western system as well as having, deep knowledge on a particular topic. So I think the role model is very, very important. And if we're going to be able to make a difference, it's really going to be about it being community-led. I think that's why that co-design piece is so important.
Yeah, so true. Looking at Yothu Yindi Foundation, is it made up of board of directors? How's their set up?
Yeah, look, there is a board of directors. And we had the signing last week. So the Vice Chancellor and the Chair of the Yothu Yindi Foundation signed, and I was the witness, and so was the CEO of the Yothu Yindi Foundation as well. So, but many of the board members were there to witness the signing. They had some of the school kids come along to be there as well. And, I mean, look, it's just a really good initiative. There's lots of work to do
of course.
In the future. There's no doubt about that.
But it's a solid foundation, isn't it? An MOU. And you cannot build an empire on sand. So we're talking about a strong foundation, a strong, solid foundation, which is great for both parties.
Yeah, it is. And, look, I think CDU has a clear role in the Northern Territory to develop the Aboriginal workforce.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And if we can do that in much more effectively by working closely with traditional owners and, you know, organisations like the Yothu Yindi Foundation, it can only get stronger.
And let's talk about time when you have First Nation people coming from the community to Darwin to start their studies, whatever. What's the setup in regarding their transport and their accommodation and meals and what have you?
Yeah, so CDU is actually a dual sector.
Yes.
So we deliver vet training as well as higher education, degree education. But also we have a range of programs, including the Away From Base program, which any student that needs to travel from anywhere in Australia, if they need to travel for university purposes, say for a block or a placement, or they need to travel for a compulsory part of their course, then the AFB program will cover that. So that will be all their travel, that will be food, and it will be accommodation. We have a range of other programs as well through the ISSP, Indigenous Student Success Program, where we have tutoring. So students are eligible for 2 hours of tutoring per subject they study. So if they study four subjects in one semester, they will get 8 hours of tutoring for that week.
Fantastic. Strong foundation. Yeah. And like you said, the MOU just solidifies that relationship. So thank you very much for sharing and congratulations. And also a big shout out there to the Yothu Yindi Foundation as well. It is a team effort. And look, we'll yarn soon, Professor Rubin. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn there. Professor Reuben Bolt, Deputy Vice Chancellor, First Nation Leadership at Charles Darwin University. And we're talking about the MOU, a First Nations game changer in Eastern Arnhem Land. And that's a new memorandum of understanding between Charles Darwin University and the Yothu Yindi Foundation, YYOF. Is expected a game changer for the First Nations people in Eastern Arnhem Land. MOU co-signed. Just recently with the CDU Vice Chancellor, Professor Scott Bauman, and the YYF Yothu Yindi Foundation Chair, Jawa Yokopingu, and in Nullarbor lands, aims to better support Aboriginal communities and customise education, training, research and leadership opportunities for the region. Too deadly. Fantastic. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service. Thank you for allowing us to be on the program and on the airwaves. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And Yarn Up with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And Yarn Up Strong, your mob too deadly.
We are like
Phil Usher on the line, CEO of FNF, and let's talk about finance, money on the line. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Phil?
I'm in Newcastle, eh?
Newcastle, all right. Cairns, North Queensland, hillbilly up north. Let's talk about Impact. A report launch reveals growing positivity in financial management for First Nation communities. So it sounds like an upbeat, thumbs up report.
Yeah, it's really positive. You know, we've got all Aboriginal staff out there delivering our training, so I think most of our success is, you know, followers coming from that same lived experience, just talking about money stories and what it's like growing up with money and all the responsibilities of being, you know, Aboriginal and sharing the money. I think that's why it's been successful.
And when we talk about this report, are we talking in the business sense, organisation, or are we talking individuals?
Talking individuals, personal finance, savings, budgeting, all on the individual, eh?
Fantastic. So what it is we're talking about, look at a pay packet. We spend the whole of our life working for a pay packet, getting the money working for you. That's what it's all about, being disciplined, understanding how money works. It's a tool, and get educated on the tool. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, that's it. Making money work harder for you, because we work hard for it. And then sometimes we get a bit carried away. You know what it's like when you see some shiny things that you want to buy and spend your money on.
Exactly.
But we could do that too, but we could also save a bit for a little bit later on when we need it.
Yeah, exactly. What's that phrase? Debt. Do everything but think. And that's the problem. We need to discipline ourselves and get focused in on the plan of attack, but don't change the plan of attack until you achieve the goal. And the goal is get out of debt.
Yeah, that's it. And especially, you know, a lot of our followers, you know, we grew up in housing commission, we're on lower income, we, you know, mum and dad just bought some food, paid some rent, and that was it. There was no money to save or keep for later on, but some of our followers have got a bit more money than that now, so if we think a bit more around it, we can do well for the next couple of generations.
And Phil, we look at different financial vehicles regarding a job or career path, what have you, investing in shares, but even property. Are we finding that a lot of our First Nation people are getting into that space?
Yeah, they are. The home ownership's really kind of a gateway asset. Like, once you buy that, you can, you know, you can leverage from that. You've got something to, you know, leave behind if something happens to you. You can pass that on to the next generation. They can sell it and divvy it up. So they're starting on the front foot.
Yes.
But you can also use that for, you know, banks like security and minimising risk. So you can use stuff like that as collateral to get a business loan to start your own business or buy another investment property. So, yeah, and we're starting to really engage in that space for the first time.
Yeah, fantastic. And when we look at organisations like IBA, they're a good organisation to be dealing with as well, to get our skin in the game regarding buying property or investments, yes?
Yeah, yeah, we partner a lot with IBA, you know, the guys that get the home loans through that. What we do with them is, you know, there's a sexy part of getting your home loan and owning it, but then there's that other stuff where, you know, you have to pay insurance, you have to pay rates, or you pay strata, and that can get a little bit overwhelming. So we support IBA's cohort and, you know, what happens once you've bought that home and managing the ongoing costs of that as well. So very much in partnership with organisations like IBA.
Fantastic. And also our employers who we're employed by, there could be an opportunity there regarding you know, getting loans on cars and what have you, or deposit house, or what do you call it, and exchanging, getting money taken out of your pay packet to pay the bills, so to speak. I mean, there's a good communication there that can be done, yeah?
Yeah, there's some real good programs that may work for individuals around salary sacrifice, particularly if you're in like the charity non-for-profit sector.
Okay.
You know, salary sacrifice, you can pay off things like your home or rent or credit cards or anything like that. And it kind of reduces your tax bill as well. So it's always worth having a yarn to someone in your organisation if that's an option. I find followers, you know, they think it's a bit too hard, so they don't worry about it. But always good just to yarn with someone just to make sure it might work for you.
And look, if you're doing a good job for the company or for the organisation, and they appreciate the work that you do, and you've been there for a good time, well, there's a good relationship, and most companies are forthcoming regarding having a conversation with you.
Yeah, it's good work we've been doing, and we're up there at Cairns too every day, Doc Week as well. We sponsor the breakfast up there and then get around in some of the community sessions as well. So
good. We'll
be looking forward to do that again this year.
Phil, good talking with you. Thank you very much, my friend. All the best to you, and we'll yarn soon.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Phil Usher, his name is, CEO of FNF, and we're talking about the Impact report launch reveals growing positivity in financial management for First Nations communities. So we're not only talking organisation, black organisation, but we're talking about black people, individuals, in regarding what they're doing with their pay packet and how they're getting the pay packet work for them so that we work with the pay packet, getting financial intelligence. So it's a great conversation, good deal. And that should be on your bucket list, you mob, in regarding goals and dreams and working towards your goals and dreams, but also be disciplined, you know. Instead of buying the car, you may have to wait a bit for working for a deposit to get in the house first. I don't know. That sort of conversation. Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black.